We're here today with Greg Pallas. This is Mark Ash from Reader Supported News. We're here today with Greg Pallas, who is known for his investigative reports for BBC, The Guardian, and Rolling Stone. His bestsellers include The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And most currently, the title of your most current book is? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, How Trump Stole 2020. The line went dead there, so I didn't know if you got the name of the book. Stole 2020.
Okay. I have to tell you, I hope you're wrong. I hope that title is wrong.
No, the title is absolutely 100% accurate. Trump has already stolen the election, but I wouldn't bother to write it if you couldn't steal it back. So that is bust the burglary and get the votes counted. Here's an unusual idea. Let's let the voters pick the president instead of the trickery. That's what it's about. So, yes, he's stolen it already, beginning with 16.7 million people wiped off the voter rolls in the last 2 years. 16.7 million voters, most of all.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second, because that's the staggering figure. When you say 16.7 million voters, and these are people being wiped off the rolls through challenges, through purges. Let's talk about what that really means.
Okay. Starting in the year 2000 with the computerization of the voter rolls of Florida, that was the first state to figure out that if you computerize your voter rolls, you can wipe out literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of voters with the flick of a switch, just come up with an excuse to remove them from the voter rolls. And in Florida in 2000, they simply said, oh, we got to get rid of anyone who has a criminal record of ex-cons, felons. So they removed 58,000 people from the voter rolls who they said were ex-cons just before the presidential election of 2000, Bush v. Gore. And I got a hold of the list. Weirdly, other journalists didn't ask for the list. I got the list, went through it, and found out that the number of felons on that list was exactly zero. Zero, none, not one, but they were almost all guilty of voting while black, and I'm not guessing because it said BLA next to their names. That's where it began. That's what elected George W. Bush. Since it was successful in picking our president by wiping out voters, they rolled it across the country. And in 2018, they came up with a brand new system of removing voters en masse to the point where in Georgia, just before the gubernatorial election of 18, they removed 500,000 voters. I went through the list, and most of those voters, 250,000, were wrongly removed. There's a reason why people should. Look, if you move from Atlanta, you shouldn't vote in Atlanta. So I went to Atlanta, and I had the list of voters that my experts said have never moved anywhere. And my experts are the experts that know where you are. They're from eBay and Amazon. They know where everyone lives. They know where you were at 2 o'clock last Thursday, by the way, Mark. I won't look it up. Don't worry. But here's the thing. So these voters were not moved. And as a result, because that succeeded in Georgia, they rolled it out across the nation where they removed. So the Republican gubernatorial candidate won by a couple thousand votes by removing the voters he didn't want. And that is what the GOP has done on a mass basis. Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Iowa, North Carolina, Arizona. Are you getting the picture? And who are they removing? Young people, Hispanics, Asian Americans, and especially African Americans. In other words, they're removing voters of color, and the color is blue.
Right. So voting rights advocates would say that the way to address this is through same-day voting, same-day registration.
Well, you need more than that.
Well, what it would mean is you walk in, and you can register. If you're in your home district, you get a local ballot. If you're not in your home district, you get a statewide ballot. That's all it would take. And
no.
At that point, because if they keep talking about voter fraud. The only voter fraud I see is not coming from the Democrats. We have an isolated example in North Carolina where a particular Republican congressional candidate literally had an operative who was rigging the election. But with that exception, I mean, this whole thing about people voting multiple times to affect an election, this just doesn't happen.
They were defrauded. The government defrauds the voters. The voters don't defraud the government. So what's happened is same-day registration is something that every state should have, but it's not sufficient. For example, in Wisconsin, the swing state of swing state, they do have same-day registration. The problem is if you walk into a voting station in Wisconsin and you are one of 182,000 University of Wisconsin students, and how do you think they vote? Do you think it's a big Trump center, University of Wisconsin? 182,000 Wisconsin students have photo ID issued by the state, which they cannot use for voting or registering. So what happens is they walk in and they say, you've been purged, or you want to vote, let me see your ID. They show their student photo ID issued by the state and they say, you can't use that to vote. You need a special ID from the dean of students, whose office is closed, by the way, because of COVID. So in other words, so even though you can register on the day, where's your ID? If you have a regular student ID, you cannot register. Oh, but if you do have that correct student ID, guess what you have to have with it? A letter saying that you are enrolled in good standing. You've paid your tuition. You didn't flunk algebra. What does that have to do with voting for president? But you can't register. You can register same day in Wisconsin if you have the letter from your dean of students and you have the proper photo ID. No problem. So even when you have same-day registration, they've got ways to block you from voting. So we have to have a massive commitment to voting in America, not just, you know, every time you come up with a solution, they have a new way.
Well, I think what a lot of people, advocates, are talking about is a new Voting Rights Act for the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you can legislate effectively, and it's not clear that if the Democrats even took control of both houses and the White House, that they would actually push this ahead. They say they would, but it remains to be seen. But these things can be legislated.
Yeah, except there's, unfortunately, have you ever seen Mitch McConnell? you can have all the legislation you want. It's going to go, yeah, there's legislation it's going to be making it all worse.
Right, but if the Democrats are in control of both houses and the White House, is what I said, and under those circumstances, they'd have a great deal more.
Right, and the only way to do that, right, exactly, and the only way to do that is to steal it back, because they've already removed these voters. They already have these. In Wisconsin, you have this requirement that students have to have a letter saying that they're enrolled in good standing. Now, how many students even know that if they want to use their student ID?
Absolutely. That's really, really...
The other problem is that if you're African American, you go in to vote, and they say you're not on the voter rolls. Well, then now you've got to produce proof of residence. This is election day. The lines, you've already waited in line 4 hours, and you're told, sorry, where's your proof of residence? This is the stuff that they're pulling, and that is. But here's the good news. Okay, Wisconsin came up with every Jim Crow tactic and tactic you could use against students in particular, because they have that massive progressive university system, and they know the students are not going to vote GOP. So they do everything to block the student voter, the young voter. And so what's happened is, even though with all those tricks, and that's how Trump stole Wisconsin in 2016, and he'll try to steal it again in 20, but he stole Wisconsin in 2016. He won by 22,000 votes, right? But they blocked all these students from voting. They blocked African Americans from voting. 50,000, according to the University of Wisconsin, 50,000 African Americans were blocked by brand new ID laws because they didn't have it and they didn't have time to even get it. But in 2018, the voters overwhelmed all these obstacles and threw out Scott Walker, the GOP kind of Koch brothers glove puppet of a governor, and replaced him with a Democrat.
I think that's kind.
Yeah, well, so what's happened is that they can't – so what Wisconsin showed us is that they can't steal all the votes all the time. Wisconsin showed us that you can overwhelm the steal. Wisconsin showed us that you can bust the burglary. It's very important to understand that just because they've stolen millions of votes doesn't mean we can't have the voters choose the president. We can still do that, but we have to not be stupid. We can't be naive. We have to be on top of it, and you better be on top of your own vote, too. The whole point of how Trump stole 2020 is the main thing is how to steal it back. The most important part of the book is really the end of it, is what I call the ballot condom, to protect your vote. What's the point of the ballot condom? It says, here's how you protect, make sure that they can't steal your vote. And it begins with checking your registration. That's number one. Check your registration. I know you think you're registered, you voted the same place 20 years. No, yeah, they don't care. They've come up with every reason to remove you from the voter rolls. And especially anyone listening to this, a voter of color, a young voter, look out. You better check your registration online right now. And if you're not there, and I wasn't, re-register right now.
Okay, so let's talk about a couple more things. I'm looking at 538 right now, and they've got Joe Biden ahead by over 8 points, and they've got him up by 8 points in Michigan, 6.6 points in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, he's up by 7.1 points. In Arizona, he's up by nearly 4 points, 3.9.
Yep.
This whole
in other words, the same poll numbers as July of 2016.
Actually, in truth, a bit more prohibitive, because those battleground states numbers, Hillary Clinton was not performing as well in the battleground states.
She won the battleground states, and the polls on the exit polls showed Hillary Clinton crushed Donald Trump in Wisconsin, won in Michigan, won in Pennsylvania. So what happened? Because here's what pollsters don't pick up. Did pollsters ask people whether they've been purged from the voter rolls? No. So they're asking a so-called voter who ain't going to get a ballot. You're not going to get a ballot mailed to you, and your ballot will never count if you're not registered to vote, period. Okay, so the pollster calls you and says, so how are you going to vote? Okay, are you a voter? You don't know. And what happens with the exit polls, how could it be that Hillary Clinton won in the exit polls? We're not guessing anymore. We're not guessing if someone has the right to vote, whether someone was voting, are they actually going to show up to vote? It's hard to conduct a poll because you have to guess if someone's actually going to vote and if they're going to change their mind. But if you just voted minutes before, you know how you voted. So how did Hillary Clinton win Wisconsin in the exit poll? The answer is they don't tell you. You don't know when you talk to a pollster if your vote counted. You have no idea. Now, here's the key. 1.9 million votes were challenged and disqualified in 2016. 1.9 million votes. That's 25 times.
And was that just Michigan?
No, 1.9 million votes are nationwide. Now, in Michigan... Michigan was a steal in your face. In Michigan, Trump won by 10,000 votes. That's it. 10,000 votes out of 5 million. Not counting, and this is key, not counting 75,355 ballots, almost all in Detroit. Detroit, 75,000 ballots were disqualified. Why? Did the voter do something wrong? No. 87 vote scanning machines broke down and could not count ballots because they broke, so they couldn't count the ballots. Real simple. 75,000 ballots, therefore, went uncounted, and that was seven times Trump's margin, and that's how he became president. He won Michigan. In Wisconsin, I just told you, they knocked out 182,000 student voters and 50,000 African-American voters. Trump wins by 22,000 votes. So another thing, yeah, the polls... He lost Wisconsin and Michigan in the polls, not only before the election, but on election day, after the polls, the exit polls. The polls do not account for the steal. That's the problem. The polls don't account for the steal. The U.S. State Department says the exit polls are the gold standard. We determine whether an election is fair. The United States State Department.
So what you're saying
says
here,
that, the exit polls are count. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What you're saying here is, this is no insulation at all, and Joe Biden, these numbers may not hold up at all.
No, they don't mean anything. Not when you're stealing that many votes. Now, here's a key point. 22% of all mail-in votes never get counted, according to MIT. 22%, that's 1 in 5. As we move to all mail-in voting, the one thing Trump's right about is that mail-in voting is dangerous. Not from the voters voting illegally. It's dangerous because of what the Trumpitos are doing to those votes. First of all, 1 in 10 mail-in votes, mail-in voters, never get their ballots. They don't get their ballots and they don't get them in time. That's why
right,
you
this
saw
leads
all
us,
those
but this leads us. This leads us right. to the broader issue of how the pandemic is going to affect voting this time around. And in light of Trump's, you know, most recent comment that he thought it might not be a bad idea to suspend the election altogether.
Yeah, but that's not going to – here's how he wins. Here's how he steals it. One, they've stolen the ballots. If the Democrats don't wake up – or forget the Democrats. If the voters don't wake up and realize that their ballots are being shoplifted and do something about it, and their right to vote is being shoplifted and do something about it, it's over with. You have 16 – you know, what can I tell you? 16.7 million people are going to be shocked that they're not on the voter rolls. And that they don't get there, they're going to ask, where's my mail-in ballot? Well, you're not a voter, buddy. You don't get a ballot. I was at the Atlanta polling station when King's cousin was thrown out. She'd been voting in the same place 50 years. They purged her. The Georgia purge system has gone all over the country in GOP states. 50 years voting in the same place, and she lost her ballot. If a pollster asked her, how are you voting, she said, she wanted to vote for Stacey Abrams.
That makes sense. So we're heading into a unique election, though. And the concern here is that it looks to me like most of the metrics, if not all of the metrics, are, I would say, at best, unreliable. That's at best. That's charitable.
Okay. If you are losing 22% of your vote, and if it's not random. So, for example, the first people who are going to lose their votes are people who've moved within their neighborhood. You say, okay. No, you don't have to re-register if you moved within your neighborhood or within your building. But you're not going to get your mail-in ballot. They're not going to forward that thing in most states. You're not going to get your mail-in ballot. So you better re-register. Now, why do they make it that way? Why don't they say, there's no danger in forwarding a ballot. We don't have histories of people taking other people's ballots, filling them out, and sending them in. Because you get 5 years in the can. It's very, very easy to find. Because in a contested race, people will go through those ballots carefully, and they'll find you. You will go to jail. It's rare, and that's why it's not done, because the few people who have done it end up in the can. It's not worth it. So,
yeah, I mean, they've never – every time this comes up in a congressional hearing, nobody can cite any pattern of voter fraud that would equate
pattern.
To multiple
I got to tell you, you know, I went – you'll see in How Trump Stole 2020, there's a chapter – on North Carolina, where the GOP, the rabid GOP Board of Elections chief, hired an FBI agent, a kind of well-known FBI agent. He's like a superstar FBI agent. They hired him and gave him $1 million budget, and he had 1 year to go find these fraudulent voters. And she says, I have a list in my hand, like Joe McCarthy. I have the names and addresses and birth dates and Social Security numbers of 35,000 people voting twice. So I went to the FBI agent and said, oh, my God, how many did you arrest? Zero. How long have you been working on it? So how difficult is it to find? You not only have their names, addresses, you're the FBI. You have all this information. And by the way, the voter records in most states have your email and your phone number. They know where you are. So if you're a fraudulent voter, why don't they pick them up? The answer is they don't exist. They didn't get one, not one, with an FBI agent at $1 million budget. He didn't get one fraudulent voter.
Right, but in fairness, that's a great instance you cite. But in fairness, this is a debate that's been going on for 30 years, and they still haven't found one.
No, they're not. And here's the thing. But they use it. It's the excuse. It's what I call the hysteria factory. It's the excuse to come up with all these rules to, quote, prevent fraud. So to prevent a crime that doesn't exist, they remove hundreds of thousands of people in a single state, to prevent a crime that doesn't happen. So what happens is the voters are a victim of a crime. Yes, there's vote fraud, but it's fraud committed on the voters by these partisan political hacks. That's the problem.
And that does exist in big numbers. And there is a pattern, a verifiable pattern.
Huge.
And a volume high enough to affect the elections. Absolutely.
Huge. Huge. Don't forget the 75,000 ballots that were not counted in Michigan, in Detroit. There was an attempt to count those, an attempt by the Green Party paid for those ballots to be counted. Sometimes it's called the recount, which is not the right word. It was the counting of ballots that were not counted in the first place. I want to repeat that. It wasn't a recount. It was counting those ballots that never got counted. And it was stopped in court by Donald Trump's lawyers went into court and stopped the count. So we never had a count of those ballots. So we know that this is going on. Now, where did you see it reported? Well, it was on Democracy Now. Did you see it anywhere else? And of course, it's not like Greg Palast has a special X-ray vision on
looking
at ballot boxes.
Well, we certainly picked up your report.
You, right. You handled it.
We reported extensively on it.
You bet you did. Thank you. Bless you. Because if it's not for reader-supported news, where are you going to hear this stuff? Where are you going to read this stuff? You're not.
Democracy Now! Is another, as you point out, sure. And there are some good independent organizations that are really doing their best to bring this stuff to light. I want to be careful. Reader-supported news is a team player. We, along with a number of other organizations, try to highlight these inequities. And I think we're doing a fairly good job.
I appreciate you bringing me back to my home country. Look, I'm mainstream news. I'm top of the nightly news in the rest of the world. In Britain, BBC, I do BBC World News. I mean, this is where you get these reports. Why in my own country am I blocked by an electronic Berlin Wall? That's why we need reader-supported news, because where else are you going to get the real information? I mean, why? They're not letting you know what's happening. The mainstream press doesn't like Trump, but they're not talking about the real issue, which is that young voters, voters of color, are being blocked from the vote. That's not been the central. They say, well, Trump's wrong about voter fraud, but he's not. But they will not. They're having a very difficult time addressing the issue of fraud upon the voters by our officials.
Right.
And you,
Greg Palast,
thank you,
author extraordinaire. I greatly appreciate the time you've taken. These are pressing issues. There are a lot of people out there that want to know about these issues, and I think we've done a great job of shining a spotlight here today.
Yes,
thank you,
my
friend.
And I want to thank you. I want to tell people again, the book is How Trump Stole 2020. But I want you to understand, it's not a prediction, it's a warning. So How Trump Stole 2020 is a warning, and it tells you how to not allow the theft to go ahead. It's not about Trump or not, it's about the right to vote. And I want to
and
really...
And if you're going to have a... We'll have a link to the book right next to the interview. And everyone take a look at that and, you know, see what you can do to get more information out of it.
Thank you so much. See you.
Okay, Greg, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.